So the first thing you want to do when you do a parts integration is you want to identify the part and the conflict, the parts involved and the conflict involved. So you want to clearly identify it. And it says here, make sure you identify the parts clearly and understand the nature of the conflict. You want to clearly identify the conflict and the parts so much so that you yourself understand what in the world is going on in the conflict. If you don't understand what's going on in the conflict, then the parts integration will not be profound, not be as profound, nor as precise as it could be. And so in essence, you will not be doing as good a job if you don't fully understand it. So if you don't understand it, I think you should ask questions. And of course, one of the questions we mentioned in the previous program was to ask the question, how is that a problem? And that's a good question here too. You could even write that on page 72 if you wanted to. How is that a problem? Let me give you an example. So I had a woman come to me and I said to her, you know, so what's your problem? And she said, I can't decide which of two houses to live in. Now, I think many NLP practitioners would have just put one house on one hand and one house on the other hand and integrated the two houses. But notice that that won't do as good a job as if you really get down and get clear as to what the nature of the conflict is and ask the question, how is that a problem? Because, I mean, I know of people living on the street who'd be happy to have one house, let alone two. And I mean, two houses, that's a heck of a problem to have, isn't it? I mean, and that's what I said to her. I said, you know, that's a heck of a problem to have. I mean, many people don't even have a house, and here you've got two of them that you could live in. What's the problem? See, that the having the two houses is not a problem. So she said, I really just can't decide which house to live in. Now, that may be a problem, but still, I don't get it. So I said, well, how is that a problem? And after asking her the question several times, she finally said, well, I just don't feel like I can have what I want. Now, that's a problem. If a client says to you, I just don't feel like I can have what I want, and that's a problem, isn't it? So I said to her, so is there a part of you that says that it's not okay for you to have what you want? And she said, yes, there is. Now, that's a problem, and that's the first part. So we're at that point going to have the part which represents the unwanted state or behavior to come out on the hand first. And I said to her, I wonder if I can talk to this part. Which hand would it like to come out and stand on? The right hand or the left hand? And she said, well, it would like to come out and stand on the right hand. So now we have the part of her that thinks it's not okay for her to have what she wants. And that's going to stand on the right hand. Now the left hand, then we say, I'd like to ask the opposite number, the part with which this part is most in conflict, the flip side of the coin, the opposite number, and let's have it come out and stand on the other hand. Would it like to stand on the front or the back of the hand? So now the part with which this first part is most in conflict, the opposite number, comes out and stands on the other hand. And so we have a part on the other hand. Now, at that point, we've got both parts out in the hand. And I think at this point, you ought to, step number four, make sure the client has a VAK image. That means visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, even olfactory and gustatory, maybe even auditory digital, if possible, a complete image as each part comes out in the hand so that you know that the client is, A, fully associated to this part. Now, I would like for you, at this point, to personify this part if possible. I'd like, as the part comes out on the hand, I would like you to say, who does this part look like? Does it look like someone you know? And the reason I want you to personify the part at this point is because that will also allow for greater association at this point. The client will be more associated to the part. If the client says, part comes out on the hand and you say to the client, what does this part look like? And your client says, this part looks like a great big pink fluffy ball. Well, Aunt Mary works a heck of a lot better as a part than some great big pink fluffy ball. I promise you that if the client has a VAK image, which is personified, in essence, who does it look like? Does it look like someone you know? You'll have a much better reaction in terms of the parts integration. Okay, so we've got the first part. The first part comes out on the hand. We get the VAK image of the part. The second part comes out on the hand. We get the VAK image of the second part. And then step number five, we're going to separate intention from behavior. We're going to separate intention from behavior in this way. We want to reframe each part so that they realize they actually have the same intention by chunking up. And we're going to ask, what is the intention? Or for what purpose? And we'll begin chunking up first with the part that has the unwanted state or behavior. Why? Why, you might ask? Well, many NLP trainers suggest that you chunk up the part that has the wanted state or behavior. But my point of view is that you should start with the part that has the unwanted state or behavior. And I believe you should start with the part that has the unwanted state or behavior because the part with the unwanted state or behavior is the part that has a problem. If you chunk up with the part that doesn't have a problem, you're working on a part without a problem. So we're not going to get as deep an integration. We're not going to get as powerful an integration as if we actually begin to work with the part that actually has a problem. Okay, so we begin by asking the part which represents the unwanted state or behavior. In this case, for the example here, the woman who said, I don't feel like I can have what I want. We began to ask that part, for what purpose? What's this part's purpose, or what's its intention in telling you this, that you can't have what you want? And I want you to notice as you begin to chunk up that that you make sure the client's intention stays associated. Now let's jump over to slide page number 14, because I want you to look very carefully at slide number 79 on the slide page number 14. Now you see where it says parts integration. So in the middle here, that little circular shaded part is the part. And the part has a certain behavior at the lowest level. And the part has a certain intention at the highest level. Now, this is real important from the point of view of procedure and from the point of view of the philosophy of parts integration. You need to understand at this point that the highest intention of a part is never the intention of the whole. Or, if it were, the part would then be the whole. So epistemologically, which means thinking about thinking, a part can't possibly be the whole and have the intention of the whole, because if it did have the intention of the whole, it would be the whole. So a part generally has an intention which isn't as high as the intention of the whole, which usually is contained inside the boundaries. So what's going to happen is you're going to actually chunk the client up or ask them for what purpose or what is the intention as they move to higher levels of abstraction. And those horizontal lines there above behavior, moving up the vertical arrow, the horizontal lines there indicate a higher level of intention and a higher level of intention and a higher level of intention. And at some point, what's going to happen is that the client's going to get to a point where they actually loop. And by loop, I mean that they'll give you a higher level intention and then they'll come back down. And as they come back down, they'll probably even repeat the words that they gave you previously. They may even say, I don't know what the higher level intention is, or that's it. That's the highest level of intention. And what's going to happen here is that you're actually asking the client starting from inside the part. And so you're actually asking the client to go outside the part. You're actually asking the client to take and go outside the part with their chunking process. And so you're actually building new neurological networks for the client, networks that this client has not accessed before, networks that the client was unaware of or just really had no utility or no access of prior to this moment. So you're going to ask the client to chunk up and go outside the current range of behavior which the part is capable. And it may chunk back down and loop a couple of times. If it chunks back down and loops a couple of times, you want to be very patient at this point. And I would say, do not allow the client to tell you that there's no higher chunk. Don't allow the client to say, oh, that's it. That's as far as it goes. What you really, really, really want to do at this point is you really want to stick with the highest level of intent. And you really want to get, holding in your mind that you're going to get to the highest level of intent. And you want to stick with that thought. And you want to be patient until the part finally chunks up outside the boundaries. When that happens, you'll notice a very nice color shift in the client. And usually what will happen is the client will shift from sympathetic functioning into parasympathetic functioning. The color in the face will become darker and redder. The hands will warm up, and the client will have a really, really nice integration that occurs at that point. And as that really, really nice integration occurs, what will happen is the client will switch on the healing process and they'll move into the parasympathetic functioning. So at this point, the client finds they have a highest intention. Okay, let's go back to page 73 then. So the client finds that there's a highest intention, and the minute that first part you're working with begins to chunk up and gets two levels outside of the original boundaries of the original part, what you'll find is that the hands start moving together automatically. Now, when the hands start moving together automatically, they may move together rather quickly, or they may move together rather slowly. We don't know in advance whether they'll move together quickly or slowly. So we want to keep an eye on the hands. And step number 5A and 5B and 5C, I think you want to get in. I mean, I think it would be good to say them. But if the hands are coming together real rapidly, you may not have time to say them. And if the hands really, really come together just so rapidly you didn't get a chance to say them, that's fine. Just allow them to be. But here are some other questions that as the hands are coming together, you could ask. Now, here's what I like to do. When right after step five, as we've chunked the part up outside the boundaries, the minute the hands start moving together, I'll actually say to the client, did you notice that your hands are moving together? And the client will either say yes or no. If whatever they say, you could say, well, you're not doing that on purpose, are you? Or you're not doing that consciously, are you? And the client will say, no, I'm not. That becomes a real solid convincer for the client. It becomes a real convincer that something is happening here, something that I'm not aware of, but is happening, definitely happening on the unconscious level. So, okay, so 5A, you have the parts notice that they were once part of a larger whole. 5B, you ask for other parts that were also once part of that larger whole and have them come and join in the integration. And then 5C, you'll say, what resources or attributes does each part have that the other part would like to have? And so they'll tell you. Use step number 6 only if the hands don't come together automatically. The hands should come together quite automatically at this point. They should just be coming together rather nicely, and they should continue to come together. If the hands do not come together fully, let's say the hands start to come together, and then they stop maybe an inch apart or even a half an inch apart, then you do want to go back to chunking the original part up. So go back to the part with the unwanted state or behavior, and you say to the part with the unwanted state or behavior, okay, so let me ask this part again. Highest intention and that, for what purpose? And you continue to chunk that part up again, getting it outside the boundaries. If the hands don't come together, it means to me simply that you didn't get the highest level chunk, that you didn't actually go outside the boundaries of the part. Because the minute you go outside the boundaries of the part, the hands will start coming together automatically, even if you never said to the client that the hands would come together. Okay, step number 6, if the hands don't come together automatically, this is sort of a Band-Aid. It gets the job done, even if you didn't chunk high enough. First A, create and visualize a third part with the combined resources of each. Place the third part in between the other two images and create a series of visual images representing the metamorphosis or transition from each part to the central image. And then step number 7, bring the hands together and at the same time have the internal images begin to merge. Step number 8, take the integrated part inside and have it merge into the wholeness inside of you. And then step number 9, we're going to test and future pace. So that's how to do a parts integration. And I think simply for speed of processing, because the way we do submodalities work is generally quick. We want to make sure we're doing it quickly. We want to make sure we're doing it as quickly as we possibly can to keep up with the client's unconscious mind, or perhaps even to move a little faster than that. But parts integration is a little bit different process. It's a little bit more slow, a little bit more leisurely. So I want to talk about parts integration next and give you an example of how that works. And so for this part, we're going to have to, once again, invite Lori to come and join us.